we have received grace and righteousness by faith, the Bible says we reign in life through Jesus Christ. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The new birth not only cleanses us from sin, but gives us great benefits that many of us do not know we have. In Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You see, as believers in Christ, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. There really is a great many benefits that come to those who serve him, as Michael was just saying. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, now you can either believe the Bible or you can believe some preacher or grandma, grandpa, but I made up my mind I'm going to believe and preach the Word of God, no matter if anybody believes it or not, because it works. It works in my life. It works in the lives of people in this church. Romans 8, 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're living under condemnation, your prayers will be hindered. Get out from under that. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We have been redeemed from the dominion of darkness and from the old slave master of the devil, been bought and paid for, delivered out of his power and control. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Can you say amen? Praise God. We have been redeemed, bought and paid for, and transferred from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. There has to be some benefits and blessings in that. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, we have been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. We must confess this. We have been redeemed and bought and paid for. I tell the devil that I'm redeemed, I'm bought and paid for. You have no right to touch me. And I tell him to hit the road. And he's got to go, because I, a new creation in Christ, I don't belong to him anymore. I belong to Jesus Christ. He no longer has a legal right to touch the property of God. We are no longer of this world. So what does all of this mean? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Does that sound pretty good to you? Think of that. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. If you're born again, God's not a stranger to you. He knows you. You know him. He considers you to be his baby, his child. If you being evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more we, Heavenly Father, give good things to you that ask him. He sees you as one of his kids, and he wants to do good things for you. And forget all this stuff about God putting bad things on you to teach you something. If you need those things, God doesn't have to do it, because the devil's already doing it. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Word of God says your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus Christ said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am the good shepherd. I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Just make up your mind who you're going to believe. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're not strangers to God. Jesus Christ has been my best friend just about my whole life. We are fellow citizens with the saints. People who make fun of Christians for hearing voices and talking to the Lord and hearing the Lord talk to you. I feel sorry for them. I'm not embarrassed to say I hear voices. I hear the voice of Jesus Christ all the time. And you better be hearing a voice, because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If you're not hearing his voice, you're not one of his. You better be hearing something. Okay. In John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus says, you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. There you have it in his own words. You are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. We do not belong to the world. We can confess. We are of the household of God. Years ago, a man wrote a book, and when he read that and wrote that, we are the household of God, he says, then that makes us king's kids. Can you say I'm a king's kid? Can you say I'm a king's kid? You see, the Word of God says, because we have received grace and righteousness, we will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, death and destruction now rules over peoples. What this means, death and destruction now rules over people of this world. Just look around. You can see it happening all over the place. But we're not of this world. We can expect God to treat us differently because we belong to him, and they can belong to him too if they want to. You see, we have Jesus to help us. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, because we have received grace and righteousness by faith, we can reign in life through Jesus Christ. Well, what in the world does that mean? Does that mean we'll never have any problems? Some people kind of take it that way, and when they do have problems, they get mad at God. Let me tell you what, you're not having problems because of God. You're having problems because you live in a demonized world. Okay. What does this mean? Ruling and reigning in life, or reigning in life. Isaiah 43, verse 1. How many know the Bible is its own best commentary? If you don't understand something, just keep reading. Okay. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I bought and paid for you. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. He knows your name. Thou art mine. God is calling you his right here, right now. God says, I have redeemed you. Therefore, you belong to me. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Did you hear what that says? Look. Reigning in life does not mean we will never have problems. You're going to have problems. Reigning in life means we have power and authority to defeat the mountains, the giants, and the storms of this life, but we need to know our authority and use it. And we can teach you how to do that. I can. It's very simple. You just live the Word of God and practice it. Reigning in life does not mean we will not go through the fire. I've been through the fire many times. God led us here. We came here all excited. Man, we've been through the fire. I mean, over and over again, but that's okay. What this means is that you'll go through the fire, but you'll not be burned up. You'll not be destroyed. You'll come out on the other side grinning. Praise the Lord. You see, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I walk around saying it all the time. No weapon formed against me, you lying devil, is going to prosper. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I may be in the fire, but I'm coming out on the other side better than I was when I went in. Amen. People said, well, these bad things happened to me and I became a better person, so God must have sent it. No, the devil sent it and God took you through it and used it to make you a better person. The Word of God says God causes all things to work together for our good. It doesn't say he sends the bad things. That's why you got to know your authority so you can take authority of the devil when he brings these bad things. You can just sit back and let the devil kill you, or you can rise up and say, I'm the property of God. You lying devil, you get your hands off of me. And you say, amen. I'm telling you how to do it. You can ignore me. That's okay. But don't ignore the Word of God. Listen to these scriptures. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He threw three of God's kids into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. Verse 25, he said, look, I see four men, loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Not only will you go through the fire, you'll discover Jesus Christ walking right beside you all the way through. It's exciting when you go through the fire. If you know who you are and know the authority you have and know who your shepherd is, he doesn't run off and leave you when you're in the fire. You see, we are reigning in life when we pass through the deep water. Well, I don't want to go through no deep water. Well, you're going to sooner or later. We are reigning in life when we pass through the deep water, march through the rivers, and walk through the fire, because God will always be with us and bring us out. You're not ruling reign by not having problems. You're ruling reign through the problems. In Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I confess that all the time. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is going to deliver me out of every one of them. Amen. You got to have a confession and always make it the Word of God. Christ, if you don't confess the Word of God, you're going to confess your problems, and that's just going to make it worse. The more you hear yourself talking about how bad off you are, the worse you're going to feel. So start speaking the Scriptures. Christ has given every believer great power and authority, and we must use it. He said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or destroy you, is what it means. I give you authority. He didn't give you that authority so you can brag and say, I got authority. He gave you authority so you can shut the devil down when he comes to kill you. I take authority over you, Satan. You take your mischief and get out. 2 Corinthians 10:3, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. You see, you have authority and power to do this, and you better be doing it. If you want to come out on the other side, blessed, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, you cannot win your battles in human ability. Amen. When you're serving God, you have to win your battles on your knees praying. You pray until God gives you a solution, until God gives you his will, until God gives you a promise, until God tells you what he wants you to do. And then you pray until you get the wisdom and the direction to do it. Then you pray that he'll give you authority and power to get it done. And then, like Michael was saying, you just go out and do it, because God is with you and he'll make it happen if you hear and obey. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. King James says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does it mean, cast it down? It means get it out of your head and cast it down. Don't believe the negative things the devil's planting in your head. Casting down imaginations and arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every thought that contradicts the Word of God, and you've heard the Word of God already quite a bit, and there's probably all kind of contradictions going on in your head right now. You got to cast those down, because that's the devil. Amen. This is the Word of God. Anything contrary to the Word of God is of the devil. And if you listen to the devil, you're not going to turn out like a lot of people in his church have been blessed and healed and delivered, because many of us, if not most of us, have really learned to obey the Word of God even in the dark, and even when the depression comes, and even when we walk through the fire, and when we're in the deep water, we've learned just to grin and trust our God to get us out of it. Amen. And rebuke those demonic thoughts that say, you're not going to make it. No, we're going to make it. Well, this is good preaching, but your amening needs some work. Everything that exalts itself or against the Word of God or contradicts the Word of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We pull down strongholds, cast down demonic imaginations. Man, I have to do it every day of my life, and take every negative thought captive. You can't let those negative thoughts going on in your head. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. This is going to kill you. That's going to kill you. This guy hates you, and he's going to destroy you. Listen, you got to quit listening to all that stuff and replace all those thoughts with the Word of God. With many of the very scriptures I'm preaching right here. I have authority over you, devil. I have authority all over your demonized people. I'm not afraid of your demonized people. Matthew 21:20, and when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. That is a big deal. have faith in the Word of God and do not doubt the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit and it comes a rhema word, never doubt that for sure, and never speak anything contrary to that gnosis revelation faith in your heart. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you get that substance, that evidence in you, don't doubt it, don't question it, and don't speak against it ever. And every thought that contradicts it, throw it down, pull it down. You have a job to do. Take authority. If the Lord gave you authority, there's a reason. Verse 21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Can you believe that? This is kind of difficult to believe. But the Bible said it. You see, we take what he says as mystical, you know, as some kind of myth or something. No, if he said it, it's the facts. I don't care how much you reason and how many preachers preach something contrary to it. If Jesus said it, I'm going with it. Amen. Now, I will admit, I preach it a lot better than I live it. But when I really believe it and act on it, it works every time. You see, be removed and cast into the sea. It might, you just never know. No, it will if you believe God. If you're in the will of God and there's a mountain in your way, you can remove it. God move this mountain, you move it. You speak to it. And when you speak to it, then the Lord will move it. But you got to speak to it. He's not going to do everything for you. You're not a baby anymore. Amen. He's growing us up. And we got to start acting like adult Christians. Jesus said, speak in faith to the mountains, to the demons, to the strongholds, and cast them into the sea. You know, if they're not moving, you may want to try doing that. Well, I just don't believe in doing it. I do it anyway. It's not going to hurt you. Take authority over it. Verse 22, and whatever things you asked in prayer, believing, you will receive. You know what? I believe that. But here's how it works. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you receive. As I'm praying, I'm not demanding that God do what I want him to do. As I'm praying, I'm believing that there'll be anointing come from heaven and confirm in me what the will of God is. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing that you're receiving, as I'm praying, I'm receiving a faith, a gnosis, a revelation, one way or the other, to do it or not do it. And I go with that. Amen. But you've got to learn how to pray and hear from God in your spirit. Yeah, yeah. And whatever things you asked in prayer, believing, you will receive. We think of this as mythical or mystical, but it's the truth. Sabrina was born with a major heart condition. I went out to the parking lot, said, God, I got to have a scripture. This was 41 years ago. I was sitting out in the parking lot of the old St. Mary's Hospital. I flipped my Bible open. It found this. And something said to me, if you'll speak to this mountain of this heart condition, it'll move. I said, heart condition, I command you to be cast into the sea. I felt something move. And then it says, what things you ever desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Same thing as this. Except it says, whatever, the different translation, whatever things you asked in prayer, believing you'll receive. I said, Lord, I believe I'll receive this right now. And I saw that baby health and well, and God has blessed her, worked miracle after miracle for all these years. And she's right now ready to give us our third grandbaby, from her, our third grandbaby. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Doctor told her they didn't want her to have any kids. She's having them anyway. Thank you, Jesus. We think of this as mythical. But listen, buddy, when God begins to quicken this to your heart, you better start acting on it. Cast that thing down. Jesus said, you know, a lot of Christians have all kind of horrible problems because they don't believe this and don't do it. There comes a time you got to grow up and do it yourself. But God always back you up, and he'll drop it in your heart. But you got to do your part. Well, I don't sin and need to fast and pray and meditate on the Word of God and go to church. That's your problem. The Bible says to do it, and you need to do it whether you see a need to do it or not. Anybody leaving? No, you're still here. Jesus said we can speak to mountains, and we can. A tornado went right down Old Cedar Bluff, tore the top off of the gas pumps over there. The trees here on the corner wiped them down. And I'm coming this way. It came down. What's the name of that road right there? Bob Gray. And I drove through there later. I mean, about every tree on that road had blown down. Went right by the church. And when it was happening, I was in the house. It felt like the devil was going to blow the house away. And I walked up to the window. We got a lot of big glassy windows there, all this glass. And the devil says, you better get out of the way of this glass. It's going to blow all of you and cut your head off. And I stood right in that window. I said, you lying devil, you're not touching my house. You're not touching this house. You're not, this house is Donna's house. You're not touching Donna's house. You're not touching my house. Over in Stonebrook. And you're not touching the houses of our people. I bind you off the church. Don't you dare touch that church. And while I'm praying and binding the devil, he's trying to blow the thing away. Got a tornado coming right by it. We just put in this big playground. The time we got the mulch, the thing cost about $80,000. And the devil's telling me, going to blow that playground around. No, you're not going to blow it away. And they didn't touch it. It's a trash bill. Big old trash can out there. It blew it all over the place. God just wanted us to know that if it hadn't been for his power, it would have got the playground. And maybe the whole church. Listen, don't tell me I don't have this kind of authority. You sit back and let the devil blow your house away if you want to, but I'm not going to do that. Now, you're going to have some failures in life, and sometimes you're not going to do things just right and have a failure. That's okay. Pick yourself up and go again. Well, I'm getting excited. Seems like I may be the only one, but I'm getting excited. Psalm 91, verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Do you believe that? Can you say, I'm going to believe it? Why? Why would you believe that? Because the Bible says it. It's that simple. I believe it. You see, 1,000 shall fall at my side. I say it like that, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come by me. But, well, I guess I'm next. Everything's bad happening. No, I think I'm not next. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me, because I'm rebuking it and taking authority over it. I'm redeemed, and I confess this promise. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me until God's ready for me in heaven. Sooner or later, I'm going to heaven, and how he does that's his business. But until then, I'm planning on walking in victory and keeping the tornadoes off of my house and your house too. You may not believe all of this, but because you come to this church, God's answering our prayers for you. Amen. To some degree, I have authority to help protect all of you if I pray like I should. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You see, this is ruling and reigning in life. Doesn't mean you're not going to face any demons and devils. You're not going to face any lions and adders, poisonous snakes. You will, but you can conquer them. Thou shalt tread upon them and walk upon them. Jesus almost quoted that in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority. Well, he said that to the 12 disciples. No, he didn't. He said this to the 70 soul winners he sent out. They weren't apostles. He didn't have 70 apostles. Well, it's those apostles. No, Jesus said it's the believer. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, we have authority over the curses, demons, and demonized people, but we must use that authority. And the devil tried to put that COVID on me. I mean, I went home, and everybody in my family got it. Dottie got it. It was all around me. And the devil says, you're next. I got it one morning, and I could not breathe. I said, you lying devil, you take your hands off of me. You see, I believe this, and I took a stand on it, and also prayed to God to heal my mother. I also prayed to heal Dottie. I also prayed to heal all of them. But I stopped him when he came to me. You're not putting that on me. And I couldn't breathe for about an hour. I was struggling. And all of a sudden, that thing broke, and I could breathe normally. I came and did the staff meeting, went on doing my work like nothing happened. Next day, I was sick, so sick, I almost felt like I was dying. I said, "Devil, I told you not putting this on me." And I took authority over him. And how can I get other people healed if I can't get myself healed? I had to get myself healed so I could get my mama healed. They said mama had major, she had congestive heart failure, almost 100. She is 100 now, thank God. A lot of thanks, I think, goes to our prayers, your prayers, praying for her. They said, well, if she gets COVID, she's a goner. She got COVID. And, buddy, we prayed day and night, and I knew in my heart God had healed her, and God healed her. Joe took her back, my brother that takes care of her, took her back to the doctor. The COVID was gone. Well, it's happening to everybody else. I guess I'm next. Well, you go ahead and be next. But count me out. Yay. How many excited you? About seven people. Acts chapter 13, verse 10. Elymas, you son of the devil. You don't want to say that too fast. You son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon them, upon him. You see, and for a time this man was blind. What was he doing? He was interfering with Paul. He was witnessing to the governor, and he kept interfering. And Paul took authority over this demonized man, and he went blind. Do you believe you have authority over demonized people? I guarantee I do. And I have used it many times. And you don't want to mess with a man of God that knows his authority. You see, Paul used his authority and stopped the evil man, this evil man Elymas. Ruling and reigning in life means rebuking storms and sickness and disease and demonized people and mountains. You see, I was on this radio station when I first came here. Didn't reach very far. There's only two Christian stations then. And we were blessed now. And we own two of them now. Yeah. But this radio manager, he had worked with me before, and I thought we were good friends. And he helped start this new station, and it was Independent Baptist. And I wanted on that station, and let me know I'm not an Independent Baptist. And so I called him into the office. He came over here to see me, and I said, I'm on that station. He made up about 30 excuses why I couldn't be on it. He walked out the door. I said, Lord, take him out. In about a week, one of the members of our church came and said they decided to fire that manager, and they want me to take his place, a member of this church. Thank you, Lord. I don't believe all this stuff. Okay, but I do. But I do. I do. And guess what our member did? Put me on. But I had to take authority over that guy because he was being used of the devil to keep me off the radio. And God had told me to be on. Let's all stand.